I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 Podcast.
If the time is going up, it's recording. How you doing? Welcome to Supercoach 360. It is your boy, Juzzy J. Here we are in the coach's box to talk all things Anzac round, round 7. Have a look at what is coming up in round 8, all things NRL Supercoach, as we do each and every Tuesday. Sorry, we are a little bit late tonight. Louis, once again, not with us. A little bit late, you know. Well, I think we've been worse, let's be honest. But we're going to try and pump through it. We do have heaps to talk about this week. Obviously, it was a massive week with some huge, huge scores. There's now a few early guilty pleas at the judiciary. We've just had a little bit of a look before we've jumped on. So I think, do we know what Tupou's gotten yet?
A week.
So he managed to get away with a week. Olakwato's gotten a week. So there's definitely some Supercoach relevance in there. What are we going to do with that? Who are the big must-haves? I mean, it's the big four. It's like the big four banks, isn't it? You got to have Pappy. You got to have Cleary. You got to have Talakai. Who's the fourth one?
You're telling the story.
Nico Hines. See, he's not in my team, so I keep forgetting about him, which I shouldn't do because the guy
what about
is scoring
Munster?
Like a machine. Well, that's it. Those are the ones who went over 150. Munster didn't crack the 150, did he?
No, yeah. Go to 110.
Yeah, that's it. So he's getting there. Don't get me wrong, plenty of centuries around. Some huge
Hines
scores.
Hines didn't go 150 this week.
Pardon?
Hines only went 97 this week.
Yeah, I know, but he's done 150 a few times now, hasn't he? He's done high 100s, just constant centuries. Yeah, it's insane. So, boys, my two faithful companions, thank you. We got Bergs, we got Con. Thank
How
you for
doing?
Joining in, tuning in, listening to us wherever you are. If you're on Facebook, make sure you jump in the comments, say good day, let us know where you're at, what you're doing, ask us a question, and we will kick on through. So, I think first things first is probably the team list twist. So thanks to Ross Mann once again. He's been pumping out heaps of content on the Supercoach 360 website. So make sure you head over there, supercoach360.com. Who have we got this week? Broncos Sharks first game, no changes. Sharks, Dale Finucane returns. McInnes drops back to the bench. Braden Trindle to the reserves. Wade Graham named on the extended bench. So watch this space. Titans v Panthers. Jermaine Asako dropped. Brimo to fullback. Will Smith replaces AJ Brimson at 5'8", which could be very, very interesting. Fifita moves back to the edge. Phil Sammy returns with Patrick Herbert moving to centre.
Just on that, I think Jaden Campbell was named in the extended squad, so he could be a late inclusion and Brimo stay at 6.
I sort of hope not, to be honest, but let's see what happens.
I'll be honest, he's surely got a... be one of the blokes talking about like getting moved along.
Look, I don't know. Let's get through the team list and then we'll come back.
Holbrook.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay, if that's going to go in your Bergs' rant section, you should have told me this pre-show. Anyway, Panthers, no changes. South v Manly. South, Tane Milne out suspended. Isaiah Tass comes into the squad. Silver Havili replaces Jacob Host on the bench, who's out with an injury. Manly, Marty Tapau returns from COVID. Taufafoa Sipley drops back to the bench. Kepi replaces Andrew Davey. Mamola Olakwatu out suspended. Ethan Bullimore's got his place this week. Kurt DeLui replaces Taniela Paseka on the bench, who's out with an injury. Oh man, Manly is just mass changes. Toltau Cooler starts for Morgan Harper, who has been dropped. Maybe he just needs a couple of weeks to get his mental back after the beating he took physically and mentally the other night. The poor bugger. I mean, look, I wouldn't want that running at me for 80 minutes. Shit, I wouldn't want that running at me once.
Well, he was lucky. He only ran in for 40 minutes. he sort of hung up the pool cue after half time, Talakai.
See, I didn't get to watch the game that night.
Scored 16 points in the second half, I think you'll find.
Yeah. Talakai so, dropped off.
Yeah, it's one of them things. The whole Sharks team dropped off. Anyway, back to...
Managed to hold on. Anyway, Warriors v Raiders. Warriors, Dallin Martini's Lesniak is out with a head knock. Quite a head knock if you saw it. Like, I think that is an understatement to say the least. But he has been replaced by Rocco Berry. Edward Cosi dropped, replaced by Villami Valea. So the people that held on, good on you.
Yep.
Josh Curran out injured, replaced by Bailey Sirinen. Aaron Penne out with a suspension. Jack Murchie and Eliasia Katoa come onto the bench for the Raiders. Elliot Whitehead returns from that horrible injury he sustained at training last week. With Adam Elliott dropping back to the bench, Harry Rushton is out of the side. Bulldogs v Roosters, Naden returns from COVID, replacing Jacob Carraz. Jake Avarillo also returns from COVID, replacing Ockhambor. And Ava Suafamangi returns, replacing Billy. Four, not going to try that, but the dude on the bench. Roosters, Kevin Nakima, replaces Danny Tupou, who's out suspended for the 1 week. Eels v Cowboys, Eels no changes. Dylan Brown named in the centres again. So, bang, that's my decision. I'm moving to Munster this week. Cowboys, no changes. Knights v Storm for the Knights. Dane Gagai out injured, replaced by Simi Sasagi. For the Storm, Tyron Wishart replaces Chris Lewis on the bench. Dragons v Tigers, final game of the round. Dragons, Jack Bird been named despite Dragons saying he broke his arm. Josh McGuire replaces Jaden Sewer in the starting side. Tyrell Fuimeono comes onto the bench. For the Tigers, Stafford Toa replaces Dane Laurie at fullback. Oliver Gildart into the centres. And Kelma Tuolungi returns. Alex Seyfarth drops to the bench.
That'd be a good game, I think.
Which one?
Dragons-Tigers.
Yeah.
The Battle of the South.
I just think it'd be a good game.
Yeah.
The way they've both been chugging along pretty nicely. Coming off wins. One of them has to lose next week. So, yeah. It'd be a good game to watch, I think. I didn't think I'd ever say that.
Definitely not a fortnight ago.
Nah. But they've been playing some good footy, both teams, so... Yeah, didn't mind it at all. All right.
Wow, you are full of energy tonight, aren't you,
Bex? I've still got a headache, guys. I've had a headache for weeks now. It's outrageous.
It's okay, buddy. Had an MRI 6 years ago, so...
No, I had one in January or February or something.
Well, let's see if we can't take some pressure off that old noggin of yours then, Bergs. I believe. Let's get us started. You've got a few rants you're going to go on tonight, so let's just pick one of them and go with it. So... The pod captains.
That's not really a rant. It's just something I had a thought. Like, really, if you last couple of weeks, like, you might have got Defy the other week as a pod captain, I think. But other than that, you've had to really either jump on Nath or you've had to jump on Nico or you've had to jump on Pappenhausen. And if you're sort of jumping on them guys, you're hundreds of points in front. Like, I missed the boat on Pappy this week after his two low scores the last couple of weeks, but I got his 198 the time before, and it was a good moment. Anyone who's jumped on Nath the last couple of weeks after buying him, master strokes, you know what I mean? It's just one of them things. I know it's not bad to have a pod captain in the back of your head, but anyone going to keep up with these guys, you know? Like, can you really... Like Talakai on the weekend... Great VC option, those who ballsed up and straight up captained him, but in saying that, it's only a half of football. He could have went on with that for a 200-point haul if he really wanted to, if he just continued on after half time, but he didn't.
Do you know how many of those points were scored Mork and Harper off, Bart?
Nah.
Olakuatu off, sorry, in the bin?
Nah, I don't. I don't know exactly how many, but there was definitely points scored while he was off the field. And it was a poor, that was another thing, poor decision. Like, I'm going to take it from Talakai.
I know what you're doing.
But
so hold on. What was your question? Like, before we take it off Talakai, like, and
just,
you go on to your
is
other
is the pod captain dead? Like, I know come Origin time, pod captains will be a thing. But when Nath or or Pappenhausen and that are playing, you definitely just have to go one of them. Like,
well,
are you sort of shooting yourself in the foot by going to Payne Huss for a safe 80? Like,
Nath pretty much sets up all his team's tries and kicks their goals. So when they rack up points, Nathan's racking up points, and Papp's pretty scores a lot of the Storm tries and kicks all their goals again.
Well, it's like you said the other day with Nath. He ticks all the boxes.
Nico,
like,
Hines also does the same thing for his team.
So I just don't have them in the same category as like putting 70 on like the Storm did or Panthers. I don't have to see the Sharks scoring points like them.
No, especially not as against the better teams.
Yeah. But yeah, are you shooting yourself in the foot by... I know at some point...
Trying to think outside the box a little bit too much.
If you've got to that point where you still want to try and chase points and you think pod captain is the way to go, is it not? I think no. For me, I think you've sort of got to go with the grain. If you're looking for pods, you got to try to find the guys that are going to go on runs more so than a captaincy.
Hold on. I'm just going to pull this up for a second, right? Because... everyone's talking about the podcasters and how everyone on all the podcasts have steered people off CSC for Talakai, and us included. I believe there is it's a comment on the question post about how, hey, thanks guys, you pretty much screwed me, because we've all talked people out of Talakai too. And I understand the reasonings why, and I haven't jumped on as well. But as the information source and as the discussion point, we all wrote off Talakai. Now, if you went the pod captain this week and you put your big balls on the table, Thursday night game, straight C.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then bang.
Yeah, you chose.
He was the highest scoring captain this week, and you pulled those extra 20 points, which if you do have a similar team...
How many people actually captained him? Can you see that? Or
Where do you see that?
Coach's choice.
It's just one of them things. Granted, he was the one-off dude, but I don't think he's highly owned, and that's due to, he burned a lot of people last year. And I think what I'm slowly learning this year, and I'm a fucking slow learner, guys, so sorry, because that's obviously something that we instill back onto you. If we're slow learners, then the information we're given's second, if you know what I mean. But I think you got to start most years just with a clean slate on most people. Like, I've judged too many people over the years and just said I can't do that person because they've shot me in the foot. Whereas if I would have jumped on Talakai when he started getting started, and he's scored back-to-back hundreds for, like, what, three or four weeks
now? I'm just putting it out there, man. 3 or 4 weeks. If Talakai is going to be able to keep up this form, I think even at 700K, he's the IPAP of last year. You've got to get on. I mean, that's not even talking about the IPAP of this year, which is IPAP, because, wow, IPAP, especially on the weekend. Like, same thing, another huge score. Talakai, 1.1% captain, 2.9% vice captains. So there wasn't even many people that tried to run the loop with him. Yeah. People that did benefited. The people that didn't have to drop a player from their squad and then cop an AE, especially if they've got some garbage in their team. There was a few low scores floating around out there this week. And then straight up, they benefit on it. So I think the pod captain isn't dead. I think you've just got to have the pods. I personally think we're going with the grain a lot this year. The funny thing is, I know a lot of people who... obviously super coach quite hard, and there's a bunch of people who haven't started the year great and whose advice has been solid, but for some reason they're not following their own advice. I mean, I know that feeling.
Well, you know, it's just it comes down to the thing, like, at the start of the year, if you've been coaching now for 5 years, say 4 or 5 years, like you have, Juzzy, even you came in with the thought in the back of your head, Teddy's a must have. Whereas if you were to cut your losses after 3 rounds for Nico Hines...
I'd be cheering.
You'd be
points-wise,
I'd be waiting. Yep. But we all think into our heads, Teddy's coming good. And then there was a few others, like... I was lucky, I got on Mitch Moses. As much as my gut said, don't do it, I thought, no, Mitch has got the 10-round dream run there. Like, it's just... it's Mitch's time if he's going to do anything. And Mitch hasn't let me down. I've been lucky in that department. But a lot of people stayed off Mitch because of his the last 4 or 5 years where he'll get you a 120, but around that he's getting you 530s or a 55 in amongst all that shit, which keeps you sort of semi-interested. But he's let a lot of people down, whereas this year, game next level, it's not quite an eighth, but...
That one is.
You know, it's he's just a different kettle of fish. But it's one of them things, if you pick the right dudes and if you cut your losses early, like Luke Smith, I think, taught us last year, cut Teddy just before price rises, and I think he'd even scored okay up until that point, and then just said, no, I've got to go this way with the Pappenhausen until Pappenhausen copped his head knock, I think. But he got way in front and was up there for ages due to just cutting his losses with Teddy. And I think I'm guilty of it, definitely, with Talakai. I was very guilty of not saying, yeah, jump on, because last year he hit me for 20s and 30s, and this was playing 80 minutes as a strike second row, but he wasn't getting any ball. The halves weren't giving him the ball that he's getting now. Like their centres, like I heard on the commentary the other night, they get the earliest and best ball in the comp. And you see it with Jesse Ramey, and he goes pretty well most weeks, like doesn't score the tries, but he gets him on the front foot with his tackle break abilities and shit. And then blokes like Talakai finishing it off, and Ronaldo. You know, you see with Ronaldo scores, I think he's averaging over 100 for the 5-round average, not a 3-round average. So he's constantly doing it out there. So, yeah, it's one of them things. Like, I'm spewing, I didn't tell people jump, and I'm spewing in jump on myself. And it was just due to the fact that I didn't have the balls to do it from being burnt in prior seasons, where I think coming into a fresh season, you got to give them that fresh start, some of them, not all of them. But, well, there are blokes who just don't have it, you know. They're not super coach relevant. They never will be.
Yes and no. Isaiah Papali'i, he was never super coach relevant, never looked like he was going to be.
He definitely
moved
is.
To Parramatta from the Warriors and bang.
But at some point you knew he was coming relevant.
Oh, did ya?
Yeah. At points last year, I think 2 years ago when he first came to Parra. It wasn't last year, it was the year before last, wasn't it?
No, it was last year. They got him on a bargain deal and, yeah, he went crazy.
Well, yeah, like halfway through the year, everyone had him.
Sometimes people just click later than others, and sometimes people move to a better system that suits their style. And, like, there's plenty of factors that can contribute to someone turning from a dud to a stud or vice versa.
I mean, let's have a look. Bulldog moves to Storm, Nick Meaney does well. Storm moves to Bulldogs, and need I say more?
Who?
Josh Adakar.
I mean, back-to-back hundreds, bro. What are you talking about?
He's probably doing the best out of any Bulldogs player, but yeah.
Back-to-back hundreds. And we got old mate chugging along nicely.
Birdo leaves Penrith, goes to Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. Yeah.
too much riding on one dude again.
Seeing as how we're talking Bulldogs, do you want to have your rant about TPJ? You're over that now.
No, I'm sort of over that now because there's better things to rant on about. Like, what I want to have a rant about is after coaches, this is real coaches, mind you, not just us as coaches, like super coaches, but real coaches now seem to think it's a great idea to whack marquee players in the centres. Like we've seen, yeah, granted injuries, but
Fifita, Dylan Brown.
10 people could have easily plugged that hole. Fermor could have played centre, for fuck's sake. At the Titans.
Why do they love Fermor so much and they're just David Fifita's on the outer?
What is wrong
with the Titans?
I don't know. And then we'll deal Bags. Deal Bags has probably been one of the form 5'8s, and 5'8s have been hard to come by this year. And we noticed just by Supercoach, like, his stocks have gone up as a 5'8". You know what I mean? Compared to last year where he wasn't doing as much work, he wasn't scoring tries, he wasn't offering the football that he's offering up this year. I don't know if it was injury or structure.
He just wasn't running.
This year, Dillbags is probably one of the
behind Munster, he's the probably number 2 5'8".
You know what I mean? Like, gun. Like,
it would be.
So, and it's just that, and then bang, oh, we'll just whack him out in the centre. It's like, granted, that no offence, they're only playing Newcastle. They weren't playing like a Melbourne or anything like that. an old mate's probably got to get some time, but what at the expense of Jill Bags? Like, why can't he just come on with 20 to go, give whoever's needs that rest a rest, you know? Reed Marnie gets tired.
The Titans one, I can semi-understand that. Holbrook's been under pressure. He's been getting hammered. Dave Fee's been getting hammered. He thought, I need to try something here. I think he's buckled to the pressure of the media and the public, and he's tried it. Thrown him out there. If that had worked, everyone would have been calling him a genius today, but unfortunately he didn't.
You've watched the Titans game. I know you have. You've watched probably all of them. Yeah.
I didn't watch any football over
The bulk of their attack goes down Furmore's side with Kelly. They don't get it out there. Brimston's over that side.
Well, it did go right when Proctor played on the right and David played on the left when Furmore was out that week.
And just I don't know. They just don't seem to do it right for me out there.
They don't.
And to put him in the centre is even further away from the ball. I don't know. It's just madness for me. And as a super coach, it just does me head in. Like, and then to see other teams doing it, like what? Because Talakai can do it for the Sharks or everyone can do it for other teams, that's going to just shit me as well. Also, while I'm just having a rant and Juzzy's looking at his phone, refs, man, yous were talking about it, I don't know if it was on mic or whatever before, but Tupu, he didn't get a look in. That should have been 10 in the bin. He's made direct contact with the head with force.
Yeah.
It's one of them things that it's not just the Roosters. It's a person thing. I think they've seen it. Oh, it's Daniel Tupu. He doesn't mean nothing by it. Where if that's a TBJ or someone else.
If Jaden Sewer had hit Tupu like that, he would have been off.
Yes, gone.
How weird is it, though? Right? Ironic is it that it's on Jaden Sewer, who has copped... Yeah. Like three in a row.
Harshly done by one of them.
Worst one in the Storm Warriors game where Penne just absolutely smashed Remus Smith straight in the face of his shoulder and screwed his cheekbone up and shit. And same thing, just on report.
And then you got Ola Kuatu for his thing. Now, I know you didn't see it, but it was not much in that either. Like, yes, I think at some point, head did hit him at some point in the arm, but it wasn't direct and it wasn't with mallets or force or anything like that.
Yeah.
He got 10 in the bin and weak, you know, and that's with the early guilty play 2 weeks if he fights it and loses. So, I don't know. It's just that if you're going to hit in the head, the refs have to go, well, it has to be one for all. Like, if he hits in the head, gone. Like, Tupu should have had his 10 minutes. Doesn't matter if... he's a clean skin and doesn't mean it. You know what I mean? Accidents happen. We know that shit. But if they're serious about no more head, then accidents have to get rubbed out of the game, and that comes down to everyone coming down a level. You know? And if accidents get rubbed out, if everyone's down a level, you know?
They don't, but...
You can't slate everyone at the start of the year and then treat someone differently because, oh, you know, they might not have meant it. Like I said, Jaden Sewer's gone 3 times. Now, he's learned the hard way. The fact that it tackled on him and it wasn't sent to the bin, like, once again, I didn't get a chance to watch the tail end of that game, but he definitely should have gone to the bin. After having a look at it, it's like, intent or not, like you said, direct contact with the head.
I have to stop the press because I've got the thing here going, all right? Scotty Smith. Now, Scotty Smith, sorry, anyone else who's got a question in there, Juzzy, you have to go back. I'll read Scotty's question so you don't have to go through, all right? Scored 14.69, no Cleary, no Hines, no Munster. 30 trades, got boosts in the bank. Unfortunately, still don't know how to use the dual positions. He doesn't know how to swap his players in his team around.
Yeah.
Now, I sent him a video. I was obviously super...
Under the weather.
Just wasn't sinking in for anyone, especially me, and I was sending the video. But I couldn't work out how to explain this to him, so... if anyone there can just explain it or...
When you go to trades, you trade out your player, like you select your first one, and it takes you to the trade screen.
Yep.
And then down the bottom, there'll be my trades, trade out, you know, trade in, trade out, and cancel. You go back to trade out, and then there'll be little T's and little S's next to some people. everyone will have a T next to them, but some people have an S next to them. That means substitute. Click that, and it'll substitute them to their dual position as long as that position is not free. Full.
Yeah. Yeah, so Scotty, try doing that while we're all here together. Try doing that, what Con's just said, so we can try and talk you through it before the end of the show. Anyway, sorry about that. Juzzy, back to where you are. I've had me rants and shit.
Really? You're all done with all your rants?
I think so.
You look a lot better.
Yeah, my head feels not so bad.
Weight's been lifted.
There you go. Roscoe has even said Tupu should have got sent off.
There you go.
Sent, so.
Alrighty, time for PPM with Ross Mann.
That's Brad.
Brad Smith. My bad.
Evening, super coaches. Good evening to Con, Juzzy, and Bergs in at 360 studio. Hope you guys all had green arrows this week. Some massive scores out there. If you've got Cleary, if you've got Pappenhausen, if you've got Nicho Hynes, and you've got Talakai all in your team, then you saw some massive scores coming your way. And I hope you all do have those players in your team. I don't, so that's probably why I'm not going too good. But anyway, that's my problem. I've got to do everything I can this week to try and see if I can get Cleary in. I do have a bit of a plan on that one. But we'll get there. But there were some massive scores out there. I think I saw Tim Moody, last year's winner. He got over 1,500. There are a few other ones around about that same sort of mark. So congrats to all those players that saw massive green arrows and some huge scores. Now, last week we covered some hookers that are coming up, and I'll talk about that one a little bit later for the bye round. But this week we're moving on to the front rowers. So we'll have a quick look at some of the front rowers, mainly the top three that are going to play the bye round. I've concentrated only on those that are going to be bye round relevant, of course. And the first one is Joseph Tapane, or Tapine, however we might pronounce his name, 537k. He's got a three-round average at the moment of 71. Now, just about all season, particularly in the beginning part of the season, I said that we really should stay away from Canberra forwards, that you just can't trust Ricky in his bench rotation. They really do share points around a fair bit. And however, this bloke does seem to be, he is just a points per minute monster. Anyone who knows me knows I love that sort of thing. He is just killing it. Last week he got 84 from 45 minutes. That's 1.9. For a bloke playing the front row, that's huge. And this is not a one-off. I mean, his points per minute have not dropped below 1.1 so far this season. In any game. So he's kept this going all year round. 537, so he's still a bit cheap. He's only got a BE of 20, so he's going to be going up in some cash. So you could do a lot worse than to get... he's certainly got to be on your radar for that buy round. Okay, dokie, the next fellow to look at. Tavita Pangai. TPJ, we've spoken about in some of my sessions, and I've written a fair bit about him. 566k, so he's starting to climb in value. Three-round average of 62. So actually, the bloke who's just below him on the overall rankings for the year, Tapane, is a bit better than him. However, he's been very, very, very consistent. And despite the fact we all thought that he would probably be charged out of the game by now and having a long holiday or something for doing something stupid, he hasn't. And he's been solid. It does depend upon his origin selection, if he does or does not get selected, most probably for the bench for origin. There's some doubts whether he will. I think the origin stocks are pretty solid in this area, so there is a big chance that he might not get selected. Last week he got 84 and 73 minutes, obviously above the 1.1 sort of PPM mark. There's a lot to like about him. But he's one that you wouldn't jump on now, but do keep a watch of him. And coming up close to that buy round, if the mail comes out that he's not going to get selected, then he certainly is one you should be probably jumping on. The next fella, he probably doesn't leave a lot of introduction. This is a bloke that you should have in your team. Now, if most people are running at the moment, or the dream team, the absolute want it, for better words, is a front row of Haas and IPAP. If you've got IPAP and Haas, that's the dream too. And to have this bloke as your third front row, and that's what I'm trying to aim for. I'm not all that far off it, actually. So those are your three front rows you'd love to be finishing the season with, and particularly for head-to-head players. If those three are the three you end up with, you're going to be going a long way to winning a lot of battles. Lolo is 586K, so he's still climbing. He'll probably go past 600 this week. He's got a three-round average of 70.5. This week he got 62 and 63 minutes, so around about 1 ppm. So he's just been solid, consistent, and the Cowboys actually winning some games. So while they keep winning some games, he's going very well for them. Okie dokie. Now, the last fella I want to talk about is not that fella. We've spoken about all them. All right. Now, last week we spoke about the hookers and the availabilities, etc. Now, you've got Starling. This week, if you're going to go Randall to Starling, Randall's about peaked after his shit-out score on the weekend. So you really, you've got to consider moving. You've got to consider what you're going to do. Most people are going to be going Starling. He'll be the most popular. But, however, this is probably the last week you're going to be able to get Starling. He's not going to be really available for you for too much longer. Corey Pates is another option that I didn't talk about last week that's popped up and is suddenly really, really relevant as a trade-in option. He looks set to have a little bit of an extended run there at hooker at the Broncos. He's only 237K. I mean, wow, you can ditch Randall, go down to there, and there's a fair bit of a little bit of your chunk of cash that you're going to need to get up to Cleary, which is probably what I'm going to be doing. That's going to be one of the main ways I'm going to fund my move here. I've been trying to plan this, and now this has become available. I'm going to be doing it. I don't think I might be the only one either. He's got a minus 20 BE. He got 77 last week, and I think it's probably going to be, by what I saw, he could continue this sort of scoring between the 50s and the 80 mark for the next 3 to 5 weeks would be lovely. Thank you very much. So Randall to Corey Pates is a very, very serious option. Now, I know that I digress there a little bit off the front rowers, but considering our discussion last week on the hookers, that was one we didn't cover and one you probably now becomes very, very relevant. Couple of front row options I did not discuss there. Paul Vaughan has sort of become, he's starting to, I'm starting to take notice of some of his figures. The PPM isn't huge, however, he's averaging quite a consistent lot of scores. I think he's averaging at the moment 60. He's just underneath 500,000, so he's still a little bit cheap, but he is climbing up there. So Paul Vaughan, the other one that sort of took a bit of notice of this weekend was Josh Maguire. One to keep a notice of. He does play the first buy round. He played his first game this weekend. Coach Griffin does love him, having coached him, I think, previously up there in Brisbane, and he does have a bit of a love affair with him. Gave him 80 minutes. If he could do 80 minutes every single week, that would be quite handy, and do watch out for that. I mean, I think he only just got a touch under 60 this week in his first game. But if he gets a bit more game time, and we know he loves a barge over for a try here or there, you can also fill in a hooker in a desperate need, etc. He can be pretty handy player for a coach to have. And he's not bad with for a super coach either, because he has dual flexibility with second row, front rower. So do look out for Josh Maguire. That's about it for this week, folks. I hope you all try to get some green arrows happening for your team. Work hard at getting Cleary in, as everybody is going to be busting everything they can. I mean, I think it was only about 19% so far. As of last week, we've got Cleary in, and I reckon by the end of the trade period this week, I reckon that'll be upwards of 40 to 50% of teams will have Cleary. So there'll be a fair bit of movement and trading in. Do remember, a couple of hard games coming up for the Panthers, so that could change things, or it could be something for you to consider. However, the little bit of a drop myself and others were all hoping Cleary would experience isn't going to happen. So, in fact, he's only going to go upwards. I think he increased by price this week, and probably next week he's going to increase due to those 150s in his rolling average. So, yeah, the decrease we were looking for isn't going to happen. So if you're going to get him this week. You know, this is your week to do it. Good luck, everybody. Don't forget about Corey Pates. There's an option for you, as I said, in the hookers. And till next week, have fun super coaching, and get some green arrows, fellas. Bye now.
All righty. Thank you very much to Brad Smith.
Yay.
For doing the PPM. Ross has managed to pick us up on the fact that, yeah, it is Brad Smith that does the PPM and not him. Thanks, Ross. You just do so much for the program that I just mixed it up there. But PPM is brought to you every week by Brad Smith. He knows his stuff. He was talking about a few good options, and we actually got chatting a couple of times throughout that little segment about some of the things he's talking about. So in the front row, quickly, Tarpany.
Con has.
Yeah,
Con
TPJ.
I have.
Lolo.
I have.
I'm tossing up between the both of them.
Con wants.
One of them.
Second row forward, Josh Maguire.
Yuck.
Haven't looked, but can see the appeal. He does go on runs. If you remember a couple of years back, he was chugging along at 70-something. So don't know why he was chugging like 70-something, but I think he took over Lolo's spot for a bit when Lolo had a broken hand. And so he's got it in him to score points, you know. So, Brad's looking at him, Brad hasn't bum-steered us so far, I don't think. You're the only sus on Cotter, and that's the only one you've raised the eyebrows at that Brad speared us into. So he must be doing well for you not to be sitting over there going, no.
I'm not massive on it.
No, you don't have to be massive on it. You just have to say it could be a
shut
good...
Shut the fuck up.
No. it could be a good play, that sort of thing. He's just trying to say...
Yeah, I know what he means. He's trying to get that pot option in there, but...
We're going to need him come the buys anyway. I'm not sure if the Dragons play that first one. Let me just quickly have a look. No, they don't.
On hookers... I was thinking about doing that downgrade of Randall because he's peaking to Starling. But as Brad pointed out, Pakes could be a juicy option.
I mean, my thing with that is if you have a look around, it's like you said last week, come the origin time, what you're bringing him in for, I don't think Broncos play the first one anyway, but... If you're bringing in Starling for that origin time, he's been chugging along at 80s, I think you'll find. So
I think he's personally just a good option to bring in as a second hooker to get you up as a stepping stone to your second gun.
Well, he could be that guy by season's end. You might not have to do any work. If he's chugging along at 80s...
Who?
Tommy Starling.
What's he going at the moment?
He's 485.
What's his three round average?
I think 80 something. Oh no, it's only 71.
63 for the five round. And he's averaging 57. So he's been slowly getting better because of when he's well, earlier, he was coming off the bench. You got to remember, all these other guys have taken a few weeks to get some match fitness. He only started playing the full 80 when Hodjo went, which was like week two or something. Well, so he's only just sort of starting to get into it.
He hasn't even. He's only played two 80-minute games and then last week played 65 and got taken off. So that's another thing to watch as well. What's Corey Pace's minutes looking like?
Yeah, but score 72 points against the Panthers in 65 minutes when they got dominated. It's good, but I think it's the price factor. Pace is $234,000. Starling's almost $500,000.
And that's the advantage with going to Pace. It's that downgrade option. You bank 150K now. You add that to your war chest to either do a couple of upgrades or reach for one of those players that maybe you missed out on. Talakai, IPAP, Nico, but Munster.
My only alarming thing with Pakes is he played the Dogs last week for 77 in 49 minutes.
What's alarming about that? That's great.
Well, the week before he played 36 minutes for a 20 against Penrith. And then 26 minutes for a 13 against the Roosters.
He's just a kid. He was always going to get dominated by the Panthers.
Yeah, I was just...
Yeah, that's it. Boo's pointing out he's not going to play the Bulldogs every week and the Broncos aren't going to rack up 30-odd points
well,
every week.
Well, this week's the Sharks and the Rabbitohs and Manly, then Newcastle, then Gold Coast. So
it's a tough run.
To be honest,
an easy run for Corey.
No, that's it. I really only see him beating Newcastle.
I only see him if you're going to get him...
And even that's not a give me.
You could even just be hoping he's either A, going to nuff himself or make that 150K-ish you can hope for. But he's on the bench, starting on the bench this week, I think.
All right. Yeah, Brad Smith did say to add a disclaimer of the fact that he recorded that video before TLT came out due to time constraints.
Oh, I can see a trap side.
Well, I just see the orange thing next to his name here. He might be starting now, I don't know.
No, I wouldn't change yet, but it might be a late change.
Speaking of hookers, I do believe people have started to ask the question of Sony Luke after getting his debut for the Panthers. Now, see, I would think no. And he may be their hooker of the future for the next few years, but Appy's still there. And Appy came on for a second stint, which means, I mean, he didn't end up getting that many minutes. He didn't stay on the field when Appy came on for his second stint, I don't think. Which, although he may end up doing that and staying on the field in some role, but I'm just not sure where you put him. I mean, you just rotate him into the middle, wouldn't you?
Look, they got to blood him somewhere.
Well,
know?
That's what I think is going to happen. I think he'll get blooded this year hard because this is actually his first
year
in the NRL.
Because you've still got Mitch Kenny, who's a hooker as well.
No, Mitch Kenny's our utility and our backup. This kid went through the junior system
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, and he's been he's been hampered by a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, I think Mitch Kenny's younger and come through with actual lure and stuff like that.
This guy was in... Sonny Luke was the hooker in reps with lure and stuff.
No, he's older than them.
No, oh, he's 26.
Yeah, Nathan, that's only like 23.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's what I mean. He was at the Panthers for, I think, 4 or 5 years, and then he went to the Tigers, couldn't crack the Tigers, come back to the Panthers reserve game for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think come out and train trial this year, and then impressed so much they signed him to 2 years.
Yeah.
But they got...
I was watching an interview with Ivan
Parramatta
the other day.
Storm and Roosters coming up.
Yeah.
They're going to need Appy on the field for as many minutes as possible in those games.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I don't think he's a viable option now. He might be a long-term juicer, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he gives you buy coverage because Appy isn't going to play Origin.
Well, I hope for our sake of next year when Appy goes and he might get the full-time job that he doesn't play much and his price doesn't go up too much, so he's cheap next year.
Yeah, that's what we need. It's what we need, guys.
See, they'll blood him and hopefully he still sits south of 300K, but I don't think he'll be bargain basement next year.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, the benefit they have against pretty much eight teams in the comp, they can afford to flood youth and stuff because they're going to beat them anyway. Let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest. By the time they let you on the field, even if they are the youth, like, they're pretty much, they know they're ready to go. They don't put them on the field, mate.
Yeah.
Well, like, look at Targo, look at May. Everyone doubted the fact that they were going to be able to do it, like they did with Crichton last year.
I don't think anybody doubted it.
And Burton. Well, I mean, you weren't sure. You thought Penrith were going to have a bit more trouble than what they're having. Which just goes to show the system works, and the people that they do eventually put on the field, whether they're young or not, they can do the job. You guys were talking about Slater and the fact that he debuted for Origin so young and stuff. Some kids can do it, you know what I mean? Play with the men.
Got any liveies
in
there?
Yeah, oh, there's heaps of liveies in there, but we'll get to all the questions in a bit, bro. What else have we got on our list?
I was just moving us along.
Oh, were you? Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I get.
Do you want to have a read about it?
That's all right.
Sweet as. Well, in that case, time for the most traded in, the most traded out.
I got that. Okay. Most traded out this week. Couple I can actually see why and who to. Schneider, he's most traded out. That's in my team anyway. Randall, Targo. People are starting to see... time to go for Targo. Me personally, I thought Targo might have been that guy we could keep till the end. But he seems he has dipped a little bit in his scoring, so it might be good time to move on Targo. May seems to be the better scorer of the two. He seems to be more of the effort man, if you catch my drift.
Mm.
So if of the two, I can see why Targo has to go.
No, I was close to selling Targo this week. I ended up selling Jai Arrow instead, just because I think Panthers got more points in him, so Targo will score more than Arrow by the end. I think his average will be okay by the end, but he will have those games.
Yeah.
Like every centre can, but...
Then Deefy is another one's most traded out, which I can only see the what you said straight across the iPad.
Or people have just had enough of seeing Talakai rack up these scores and they're like, nah, I need it.
That's it, straight across to Talakai, I think, is also a completely viable option.
Well, it's not. Yeah, you make almost $50,000 too, so.
Yeah.
It's not sideways. It's a pretty good play, really.
He's in form. Deefy's just not. He's just not getting the ball.
Though he's still averaging 72 up until I think a week or two ago. He's still, I think, the highest averaging second rower.
Well, yeah.
And he's done nothing. So I don't know if it's just like the Teddy owners just hanging on hoping that something changes and fast.
Is it that FOMO, the grass is greener on the other side? The fact that you're seeing people who are around that price point, like Talakai, like IPAP, who will rocking these big scores, and especially when Deefy's not, it makes it hard. But yeah, I mean, like, it took me this week.
I think you're fine.
It took me him being named in centres for me to say, nah, I'm done, he's gone. And I completely forgot about the fact that he scored back-to-back centuries the week before, which is what's helped me a lot, especially as he's become more and more of a pod. So am I being too harsh on Deefy?
But you got to think of what he's done in with the amount of ball he's had. If the game plan ever changes and the game plan is to give him the ball, then owners rejoice, you know what I mean? But are you willing to cop the 100K hit? I know we've got people, I think, even watching at the moment that have traded him out and traded him back.
Well, that's it. And
no.
Like I said, as bad as he is, he's still 7,500 dearer than he started the season. And his break even's only 83 this week, which we all know he could double.
He could do that in two runs. So, you know, with tries.
I'm a holder. I just don't want to see Dave Feeder run out on the field. He's not in my team.
Well, I can see others. That everyone else on that list, I can sort of put a tick next to Nath or a Randall to upgrade or a downgrade, whatever way you go that way. Targo, same thing. I can see the logic in it. Defe still has me a little bit, oh, you're a bit mad doing it.
But I can still see the logic in it.
Is it me that is wrong? Like, I've been wrong with Teddy. I've been wrong with Talakai this year already. There's number of occasions where I've fucking bum-steered people and not speared them in the right directions when...
But there's also a number of situations where you saved them from bad decisions and steered them in the right direction as well. Yeah. Just because you can think of two where you didn't.
Yeah, but they're the ones we all remember.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know, they're the ones that the people were holding on to for the... Well, look at you and Joey Marley for the last fucking X amount of years. Is it the same?
Sorry, Richard.
And then the ins. The ins this week. Already Talakai top traded in. Fully see the logic in it. Their run's not hard. And they'd be mad to drop him like you said. Even if Connor Tracy and Wade Graham were to come back this week, I can see others...
No, you can't.
Making way before him. So, and then Naif, second most traded in.
I got Swahili second most.
Really? Well, I got Naif, should be close to Naif, most traded in. If you can get him.
What's his ownership, though?
Doesn't matter.
It does, because there might not be people there to trade him in. You're aware 2% of people, near 3% of people, Captain Tommy last round?
A lot of people
they're playing.
Have already got Nath in too. Like, I think he was the most traded in last week.
Yeah.
So
he's still, I think Brad said he was only at 11 or 19% owned, one of them 2%. 21% owned.
11 or 19. I love how you gave yourself a range and was still wrong. Amazing.
Obviously more have got him in since Brad done his thing.
Perfect.
But yeah, Naif, he's one you should be looking at. IPAP will be probably, you reckon he'll outscore Haas? I reckon he will. He'll probably be the number one front rower in the game.
And back rower, I think he'll get both.
You reckon he'll take both?
Yeah.
Even off Defe?
Yeah, by the end of the season, he'll be number one in both.
Oos. And then most traded in's Corey Pakes after IPAP. And then after this one, I don't understand this, Zach. Karaz from the Dogs.
He's dropped this week.
He was only on...
COVID.
He was only on, like... he was only getting that one game. I don't think he can play again till at least June 30 or something anyway, so...
Round 10.
Yeah, so he can't play again for ages, so...
Well, round 10's not unless for ages. Nothing. Round 10's 3 rounds away.
Unless you're
or
nothing.
2, yeah.
Well, 8, 9. Yeah, that's it. I think he's playing in that third one, so...
If... You know what I mean? If
I'm not saying he is.
I didn't see the game, but I looked at his numbers and they looked pretty good.
Oh, he had a blinder. He's fucking best on ground for us, in my opinion. Oh, Shoop had a good game too. He really fucking, he showed up, Katoni Stags.
Yeah?
In my opinion, yep. He had an outstanding game, Shoop.
I like him.
I like him too.
Where we at?
Oh, they're the ins and outs.
Beautiful.
Most traded in, most traded out.
All right, let's get into some questions. I have dipped into them a little bit. So, Shannon Pinkowski, is it time to get off the Targo train?
Thinking so. There are others on that same wagon. We'll play the first buy round, though. That's sort of what's swaying me to keeping him at the moment.
I mean, no, Nath, Luai, Yo...
Still.
Very different team.
Yeah, I know they
are. We've seen that last year, even when Burton come into the Haas and stuff, they were a different team with those three players out. Yo's their focal point and Cleary's right there too, so.
So you think maybe not well, feasible idea to hold on to these guys for that period?
I think I can see more appeal in selling Targo than holding him just.
Yep.
At the moment.
Yep.
No other cash cows are fattened up like him.
Yeah, well, that's it, and it's time to upgrade now, really, up and down grade, so, yeah, I do agree with it. Juzzy?
Ross Mann says Turpin's back soon, but Pakes should be starting, Walters needs to go. That's more of a statement, but I'm not inclined to disagree. Sean O'Veyrat says D-bags to Munster, Curran to enough, Schneider to Paps. What do you reckon? So I'm guessing he's already got Nico at fullback. to allow the Schneider to perhaps trade, or possibly Taff.
Well, I'm assuming he's already got Cleary too. Or he just can't get to Cleary, maybe.
Well, let's just go with what he's given us. So what's he given us?
D-backs to Munster, which I like.
I like that.
Curran to enough, given the injury.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know about enough. I'd probably still probably look for someone to generate if I can.
Yeah, but I mean, that allows him to go Schneider to perhaps.
Yeah, but no, can he, if you can maybe use your jewels.
You said let's stay on topic here.
Yeah, I'm just thinking just outside the box quickly. If you can move your jewels around, maybe bring in that dude from Manly.
Cooler.
No, the other one. The winger.
Tuipulotu.
Yeah.
See, but I don't know. There's a lot of cheap ones out there actually playing, but none of they're still cheap for a reason because they're not scoring well, and they used to be nightmares.
Yeah.
I went looking through today to try and find someone cheap who's starting to get decent minutes or something or coming up, and I just couldn't find him. I had to go enough too to get Nathan. I needed it for the money.
Worth it.
Absolutely. Well, I traded out two cashed up cows and a mid-ranger who never worked and got Nathan, a new cashy and enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see, and you can be happy with that.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have enough yet. Like some of those risks, I mean, look, if there's cheapies abound, but if there's not... Yeah, mate, you've sort of got to take those risks to be able to get the people and generate the cash to get the people that are actually scoring the massive points, because the difference is huge, as you saw. Some people we know scored 1100s, 1200s. Other people, 1500s, 1600s. Yeah. My score was a 1700 plus. It's insane.
Yeah, the swing's massive.
Like. Yeah. So I've figured it out before the show. I think we're talking about four players. Or getting 150. I mean, okay, so it wasn't actually four this round. It was only three this round. But then if you had IPAP, Coates, like there was a few players then, that, you know, Munster, we're still talking another 100 on top of that. Best part of 750, 800 points, especially if one of them is your captain.
Well, look at
Coates.
That's
insane.
Look at Coates. I think last week he was one of the most traded out. I think everyone said it's nearly time to jump off.
I got rid of him a week or two ago.
There you go. They're back.
I held.
So, yeah, it's one of them things. You just fucking got to jag it.
It's the left wing at the Storm. You knew they were always going to go huge. I mean...
He plays right. But they seem to have gone more right side this year.
Does he play right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't take the Fox's spot directly.
He took the other wing.
I'll pay attention. All right, Luke Smith, he says, good to see you boys. Finally cracked a decent score. Still lost 6-10 head-to-heads. Cop first loss in my draft as well. But did you get in on the Viking clap, Juzzy? Because I saw him at the Panthers game. Yeah. He was kid-free, three parts pissed. He was loving it. I did, Lukey. Did you? Because it was fun. And
I
why
hope you did.
You?
I hope you didn't, Luke.
Why wouldn't you? He would. Why wouldn't you? Come on, Burks, fire
because
up. Let's go.
Because it's Canberra's Viking clap. Why don't you just come up with a fucking Penrith stomp? Why you got to steal someone else's shit?
Because we're doing it to take the mickey out of him, mate. We're not doing it to steal it to rev our team up.
On Burks' thing, Mick Ennis did it. Be original, fellas. Come on.
Yeah, Mick Ennis. That's it. When he played for Cronulla, but not as a Bulldog.
No, at Cronulla. So, yeah, in Canberra.
Wasn't as cool. If he was a Bulldog, it would be way cooler.
See, don't get me wrong. The balls of Mick Ennis to be one person doing it to the entire Canberra crowd. Like, I was one in a sea of 20,000 people. It's really easy to get in on the Viking clap. You're so goddamn anonymous. You know what I mean? But also, like, it's the Viking clap. I have to go to Canberra to do that otherwise.
I don't care. I got no problem with it.
It was the best. They did it twice. They actually did it three times. So they did it at the end of the game during the post-game interviews too, but the commentators had stopped talking about it by that stage. But yeah,
100%. Even they were sick of it.
No, they were loving it. I mean, the fans anyway. But yes, it was great. And yeah, whatever.
You pay enough to go to the footy. You can do what you want pretty much within reason. Except for old mate. I want to give a shout out to the Bulldogs fan. Up at the Broncos game.
Good on him.
Gave that loudmouth a bit of a touch up during the moment silence.
Well, you know what? It's one. It's. And I got to stress this point now that I've got a kid too, because, like, for you know what? Sorry, off topic a little bit, supercoach wise, but Anzac Day itself, like.
I think it's my favourite round of the year.
It's a near forgotten thing, and it's not just about getting blind and playing two up. Like, you just wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for fucking people
absolutely.
Out there and went to war and families and shit like that. Like, and that's what sometimes the thing of the day, like I was watching the telecast on the 9 yesterday and it's not about the game. Like, there's some individual people in there that may have had Anzacs in their family and it makes them rise to an occasion, which just makes the fucking game better. And yeah. I think yesterday, both games were great games. Like, granted, the scoreline by Storm by the end was fucking massive, but still, take nothing away from the game, it was a good game.
Yeah.
You know, to watch that, Warriors fans, but to watch that was fucking spectacular. It was. Like, they fucking just running in point after point. Well, like,
10 tries in the second half. That's a try every 4 minutes.
Massive, massive thing, man. Like,
so when you think of how long it takes to, you know, adjudicate a try, kick a goal.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, get it all done, so get back to a restart.
A try every two and a half minutes of actual gameplay.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Which
cool. Then, if they're going for set, is almost a try every set, or a try every two sets, it's you know ridiculous. What I mean? Maybe three. I saw at one point, I think it was early in the second half, mate, Warriors had completed one of four sets.
Mm.
It's like for the entire game. Like, Melbourne had just starved them of so much ball that they just hadn't gotten anything. And, like, Melbourne had completed, like, 20 sets to the Storm's four. Like, one of four. They'd only managed to actually complete one. It was just a horrifying statistic. It was like,
yeah, it was Melbourne at their best, you know. And it's like we said the other week as well. Like, fuck, there's only two teams.
You got to question why they do it
at the moment.
You got to question why they do it. Do they do it because Bellamy is just like, nah, you don't take the boot off because we need the points differential. Because if Penrith drop a game, we go to the top of the ladder.
Not even that. I just think
they're just ruthless, man.
Yeah,
that's just their attitude in general.
That's what makes them the best.
Well, he's always never took the foot off, you know. Even in games where it's, like, close, you know what I mean? The team's playing for fucking 80 minutes.
Yeah, but look, you know, when it's close, you understand it. But when it's 70 to 10, it's just like, give it. Stop.
No, No, because, you know what, that sends a message next week. You want to fucking turn up against Melbourne. Well, they are going to drum 70 fucking points through you and not bat an eyelid. And you know what? They'll go on and do it the week after if that kind of, I mean, that person don't turn up. You know, so.
Well, we're with our mentality at the moment, we're already lost. We've got them this week. We've already lost. You're
getting fucking thumped.
We might as well just stay in AV bed.
We could see an 80-point game this week. Like, the Warriors are in that for a little bit. They hung on for the first...
First
40 minutes was fucking 16-10, and the Warriors are in
20-0, I think.
No, mind you, 16, Melbourne 10. Gifted, 20, Melbourne 20, gifted them the tries off of errors. Like, yeah, that it was Melbourne's stuff-up and ill-discipline as the only reason the Warriors got points, eh? Like, yes, they converted and they got there, and good on them, but... That was literally just because Melbourne stuffed up
the
system.
That's football too, but
the
ball bounces your way sometimes, and that's where you get your points. Like, who are we up to?
Michael Hucker says, "What's up, lads? I'm bringing in Sonny Luke for Randall, mainly for buy round and cash grab. What do you reckon? Will his minutes increase if he's to be the starting hooker next year?" So we obviously talked about that.
I don't think minutes increase for him. He might jag an attacking stat.
I mean, he might jag an attacking stat fairly regularly if he's going to be their weapon off the bench.
I don't go near him.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it today, and not I was like, nah, not with Appy.
If Appy gets injured,
jinx, yummy coke.
It's in the fridge.
Brad Ives, would you be selling Fifi to Talakai?
Me, personally, I wouldn't. Why? Wouldn't. Because I hold the faith in David Feeder. Like, Talakai had 10 runs or something, 12 runs to get that 166. David Feeder get that in about 8 runs.
Yeah, but if David Feeder doesn't get the ball and Talakai does, I mean...
Yeah, like, I get that, and...
Con, what about you? Would you sell Feeder to Talakai?
No, I wouldn't personally, but...
If you had luxury trades...
I've got bigger fish to fry.
If you had luxury trades and your fish were fried and you had chips... Would you do that trade?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't see, like, there's no illogic in it. Talakai is obviously on the up, whereas...
That's mainly why, because Dave Fafita is about to lose a chunk of change, and Talakai's got a break even at minus 51 or something. So even at 50 this week, and he's going up another 70-odd K.
Could just be worth the trade in cash value, plus the points you'll get anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
if you've got luxury trades, do it. Yeah.
I said I'd get Cleary in this week, so I can't do that.
All right, you got the questions ready to go?
Nope.
Oh, wow. How did you not know the questions were coming?
I have a Twitter question ready. Okay, from Scum Westy. Is it time to move away from base players on the higher and move to higher ceiling guys? Seems to average at least 60 to 70 points each, but they never go massive over 100. Whereas the higher ceiling, like the base players, won't get over your tons, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it time to I think you have to still litter your side. I think you have to try to find your happy medium.
Absolutely.
You can't just have all or nothing of either.
That's it. You can't just have people that can all go 30 one week, yeah, or 120 the next week. Lord.
It'll cruel you. It'll cruel you that one week.
If you're playing overall, like I said, if the average is out, who cares how you get the points as long as you're getting them?
Yeah. Look, for me, I still think you need to have a decent amount of base heavy dudes, like your Payne Haases. Your who else?
Oh, well, IPAP. He's Lolo. He's a base beast, and he's got the attacking chance too. To be the pen guy is not so much a base beast, I guess.
But he's, you know what? He's gotten better. His offloads have become a fluent part of his game. Like, he's getting at least 4 offloads a game, so you can sort of count on him.
Yeah.
For those points every week,
well,
at least.
Yeah, well, I don't think it matters. If they average the same, look, he's going to cost you head-to-head 1 week. He's going to win you one week. Old mate could consecutively win you those close ones, you know what I mean?
Like, well, my thing there is IPAP's got the highest ceiling again.
Yeah.
Yeah, over TPJ. Like, no matter what TPJ brings that week, I still think IPAP's ceiling that little bit higher, you know? So, and in a better scoring team.
That's it.
Well, that's your other drama. All right. Oh, okay. Steve Clifford. Steve's happy. Not a question. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out for talking me out of bringing in Talakai after the Knights/Sharks game. Much appreciated. So that was obviously weeks ago. I'm blaming Con and Juzzy.
I'll take it. I absolutely said no way after his performances last year. I didn't get on last year. He didn't burn me, but I just had no faith. Maybe after a week or two.
I'm the same.
That's when you... I don't know.
In saying that, once he started going, it, you should have probably had a look at it.
That's like it.
Everyone's been talking about him for the past 3 weeks
taking
now.
Taking the decision out of our hands.
But yeah, sorry. How bad? Yeah. Martin Walker.
I do apologise.
Fed up with Fafita. Booting for Talakai. Upgrade Ilias to Cody Walker now he's bottomed out, or to drink water. My thing with drink water is you don't know if drink water stays. When the hammer comes back.
I think he has to.
You think my other drama is who do you drop? Because everyone else has been playing good footy. Their wingers have been good and their centres have been good. So does that relegate then maybe a drink water to 14 and you inject him at certain points in the game?
I think drink water's got to stay at fullback if they want to keep winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's attacking. Like he seems to like link in with the halves, whereas it stops with the hammer and he just tries to put the foot down and go.
Remember we were talking about Dylan Brown earlier and the fact that he's probably the second ranked 5'8"? I think on 3 and 5 round average, Drinky actually sneaks in there.
Yeah.
Like Drinky is the smoky that's coming through that, and he's got that dual position too, doesn't he?
I think he does. Sure. But what about Cody?
I still don't like it.
Don't like Ilias to Cody?
Not massively, no.
Hmm. Would you go drink water over Cody?
At the moment,
I think he's a smoky, man. I think Drinky's the smoky. Especially if he holds his spot. If they're winning games, you don't change shit if they're winning games.
Yeah, well, I like Drinkwater. You got to remember, he's Melbourne like system dude.
Yeah,
he was playing out of position up there in 5'8". He came through before Pappenhausen as a fullback, so didn't really get his opportunities in his position this year. He seems to have got his opportunities and he's done well. So yeah, we like the Drinkwater over Walker trade.
Yeah, but still, I'd really like to go to Munster.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know it's probably not probable, but they've had a sweet run pretty much all year.
The Cows.
Yeah, and the last three has been the Warriors, Raiders, and Titans, and we've seen what all three of those put up on the weekend. The only decent team they played was the Chooks, and the Chooks touched them up, and the Chooks are going absolutely terrible. And then they've got Parramatta, Melbourne, and Penrith all over the next 5 weeks.
Ooh. So big ass from Drinky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't expect 90s against them, I don't think.
I'd be looking around a bit more, Martin. Just have a look around. Maybe if you do sell for feeder, maybe... Oh, look, Talakai is the man to go to, but maybe if you can just do better with the money you get left over, it's only 50K. You just have to try to work something else out. Ross man, is it still worth jumping on Cleary, even with Origin coming up? He does have a few tough games coming up as well. So,
he's the number one halfback for a reason. You might be able to get him cheaper in a few weeks, but you might not.
I don't think it's about the cheaper. I think it's like you're sacrificing your other gun halfback to get him in, if you're catching me drift.
Yeah.
So, therefore, once Origin comes and if he does get some rest over that period, then you lose Cleary for possibly five
games.
But
if you're sacrificing a gun fullback, say Teddy, who's also going to play Origin and could also get rested, that kind of rules that out. I just think, over the last 2 weeks, what's Nate scored? 300 points?
303 or
something. What's the next best halfback scored? 150?
Well, yeah, 80.
That's why I went Nate.
So, that's it.
You need to have him.
Even if he misses one or two games, he's already got 150 points over the next two halfbacks who probably won't even make that 150 points up in two games if he misses them.
You
see,
remember last year he only played 20 games because of Origin, and he's still the highest scoring halfback by a mile.
The longer you've got Nate, the better off you are.
Yeah. All right, Brian Ings, this is your question of the week. Right, I like this question. Is Nofo flying under the radar this year?
I think he is now that Jackson Hastings is back in the side. Now that when Jackson Hastings is there, Nofo's been getting some good ball, but he wasn't getting any good ball before that, and he does it like a little bit in base, so he was still chugging along. But yeah, he's looking juicy with some attacking stats, and he's been a Supercoach gun for years.
He has, and he always goes on a run. I like Nofo. I think he's got 90-something and 100-something.
Yeah, 89, 102 back-to-back. Yeah, well, since their tax changed, he has been a major beneficiary of it. And Dragons, Manly, Cowboys, Bulldogs, South, Manly, Bulldogs, Warriors coming up.
That's a nice draw.
A pretty juicy run.
Like if the Tigers are going to make some ground on that leaderboard.
He's one of the guys they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So he's he's not flying under the radar anymore, Brian.
That's it. Well, you've let the cat out of the bag, mate.
Well, I think he was more flying under the radar this year because he started with a 65, 24, 37, 50, 26.
What's he priced at then?
So nobody was going to touch 90. Him. But yeah, he's 490 now after making 55K last week. And
how much has he dropped in total?
He's up 22K.
Really?
He had a quiet year last year.
Yeah, well, especially towards the end of the year, he dropped off, didn't he?
So yeah, definitely could be an option.
Yeah.
Jared Watson, Watto. I think Watto did a write-up.
Well, no, I'm a terrible person. Forgot to message him back over the Anzac weekend. He was supposed to do a write-up. No doubt it's on the Supercoach Hub Discord.
Doing what?
Yeah, Watto, send me a message. Sorry, but I'll reply soon.
Told you, tech guys. I think Randall has peaked.
Yep.
Has Randall peaked?
Yeah.
I think so.
Randall...
Joey Johnson's back at the club now, so they probably all peaked, let's be honest.
Randall to Starling for the buy planning is the go? Question mark.
Well,
I like it personally.
That's what Brad Smith reckons.
I think he'll top score of the hookers that round, I think.
I mean, look, I'm not fussed about that round. I'm fussed about the average of getting to that round.
Well, there's no point
getting an 80 in that round if he's pulling out 30s or 40s every other week. But he's not. He's chugging along nicely. He's got solid PPM. He looks busy. He's into it a lot.
Well, that three-round average of 71 since Hodjo's gone, so...
Cheering.
Yeah.
And I think he's the best option for that round.
And Targo also peaked. Is he a season-long keeper or move him on?
A lot of people asking if he's a sell this week.
Dual position with Aiken switch is so valuable.
It is. It is. That's what's kind of keeping me hanging on. But him to old Nofo over there this week at the same price wouldn't be a bad shout, I don't think.
Yeah, that's...
Especially if Toto's due back soon. Like, you've got to expect that a lot of the Panthers' attack's going to go to wherever Toto is, whether it's through Crichton or through Targo.
Well, not just that. Like, they seem to be on the attack and up, whereas Targo... He's not on the attack and up. Like, May's on the attack and up. Crichton's on the attack and up there. Whereas May just every now and again seems to get it. He's not doing the work, if you know what I mean. He's not as busy as the others.
He was when he first started, though.
Yeah, but he's sort of plateaued out. Whereas I could see him being a good switch to Nofo. Yeah, that'd be a good swap straight across. Am I going or you got some live there?
I've got a couple of you. Chris Maxfield says, I need to sell either Lomax the Targo, or no, Lomax or Targo or Aitken to Suwali in order to get Cleary. Pick one. Oh, no, I think it's Lomax and Targo or Aitken to Suwali in order to get Cleary.
I'll get rid of Targo over Lomax. I think if you brought Lomax in, he's sort of your pod season keeper, isn't he? Kicks the goals there and...
I'm thinking he means which one out of those three does he drop to Suwali to get Cleary money?
Tago for me.
Tago's probably the last one I'd drop out of that bunch.
Really?
Aiken would probably be the first one. Well, Tago's, I think they're all averaging roughly the same, but I think potential for Tago's way better than the other two.
I thought Aiken, because he's a second rower, and with Curran going down, he should benefit a little bit out of that. I'd probably hang on to him.
No, he definitely will, but I don't know, he hasn't been doing it. He hasn't been getting the attacking stats I would have liked from Aiken this year.
Yeah.
Sweet as. David Sons. Which two go this week out of Firma, Josh King, Randall, and Targo, bringing in Talakai and Achipi?
I'd probably go Firma and Randall.
Firma and Randall?
Yeah, I think they've sort of both done their jobs. I got rid of Firma last week for Katoni. My bad, guys. but yeah.
What about Josh King? What are you doing with him?
At this point, I'm holding in the hopes of more minutes. He's not hurting me.
No, he's scoring quite well in his dual position too.
Well, he had 56 or 59 or something on the weekend.
Yeah, he's got to be averaging pretty well. He's chugging along and he's dual position.
Wait, which No, that's I'm on the wrong King.
Melbourne King. Melbourne King.
I don't own him. But I'd be looking to move him on for his money. I think you can probably use his money wisely now. Like, you could probably keep him. He wouldn't do you no wrong, like we just said.
Well, I was thinking of upgrading, but I like the dual position. I think that's going to come
then in. Have very you got versatile. A Lolo?
I do. So I could put Lolo up there, and then even if I keep Josh King somewhere, then maybe I could get rid of a second rower anyway. I've got to suss out my options. DP might be a sell. I mean, I only brought Yo in a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not looking to move him on yet. But I want Gussie. I've got Ola Kawatu, but I'd love
Gussie. Are you sure you want Gussie? You got a 40 last week just gone, back to starting. It's not really what numbers you're looking for, Gussie. It's not like you're going to blow out 100 grand next week and you're not going to be able to get him.
Then I'll go IPAP then. I want IPAP.
Well, that's what I'd be looking at, more so than a Gussie at the moment.
Now, see, I feel if you're selling Josh King, you're going up to one of those elites.
Yeah.
Or you're creating the cash for Cleary Gussie, or some other gun in a different position to come through.
Gus at this point is a gamble.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't touch Gus.
40s and shit, whereas if you can free up the extra money to get an IPAP, that's masterstroke shit.
Gus played 80 the last 2 weeks for 49 and 43.
Yeah, that's it. The Roosters aren't clicking an attack.
But even those base numbers are down on what... Well, he normally chucking out 60 man, like minimum kind of thing.
So...
Alrighty.
Alright, Dane Gray.
Yeah, Murray's the one you want if you're not going to go off at.
Yeah.
He just keeps busting out scores.
Dane Grayreger. Lads, I'm in the market for a premium second row forward this week. Who do I trade in? Out of Talakai, David Fifita, and IPAP. David Fifita will play Origin. The other two don't play round 13 either, leaning towards IPAP for the dual flexibility.
I got IPAP on top, and I have form at the moment. You'd have to go Talakai on top of David.
Yeah, that's the way I go too. IPAP's number one pick there. Is the dearest, but...
Not by a great deal. Like, they're all around the 700,000 mark, I think.
Yeah, 750.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's what we understand, man. Yeah, but no, yeah, David Feeder for me, he'd be the pod of the lot at the moment. Just on the work rate and shit as well. Like, Talakai's efforts seem to be a bit more week to week, and so do IPAP's.
I mean, Sharks have had good draws too. That's the thing you've got to remember.
Sharks' draw has got better.
It never really changes. That's what I keep forgetting.
So it's just got better again. So, yeah.
All right, there you go.
That's the way I go.
Yeah, I'm the same. No, I'm good.
Lance George. Happy with my score this week, even though it's low.
I'd also put Cam Murray in that conversation too, probably. IPAP, Cam Murray, and then Talakai.
Before Fifita. Yeah.
Righto. Thank you, Con. All right. Lance George, happy with my score this week, even though it's a low 13.96, with Harry Rushton starting with 18 and Jamin Salmon starting with 13. That's not bad, 13.96, and still having two blokes score under 20.
Mm.
Rushton dropped, though. Why'd you bring him in? Unless he was an AE nightmare, because that's what he is.
Yeah.
We might have had him... As an AE, thinking he'd never get a run, and he did.
That's what I mean, as enough. You know? Like, yeah.
So, yeah.
But I doubt it would have played him if
not bad, though. 13.96.
That's good.
Kane Holbert, is Talakai a must-have now, or have I missed the boat? I don't think you've missed the boat if you personally think they're must-haves.
If you think this form continues, get him. He is a must-have.
If you have a look at their drawer and you... Look, he's not going to score 166 every week, but on potential, he's got 90s in him every week, yeah.
They've kept him as a caged animal on the bench, man. When he has gotten the starting spots, he runs right. Well, he's only getting better.
If he can score 114 against Melbourne, he can turn up on anyone.
See what I mean? Because he's that strong. He can run through anyone in the back line, man.
Oh, yeah, when we played him, he gave Gags an absolute bath.
Yeah. And Gags has been on fire until that point. Yeah.
Gags is a pretty good defensive centre.
Yeah. All right, Gary Barnes. All right, guys, this is This is a question. Evening, fellas. I think it's time to grab Cleary and Papali at the expense of Moses and Olakuwatu. Do I pull the trigger?
Yes, reluctantly.
Yep.
Yeah, like Olakuwatu's like be hesitant sale for me.
Yeah, but who's he going to?
IPAP.
Nathan Cleary and IPAP. Yeah,
well, that's it. I mean, they're just they are the top of their games.
Yeah.
They are the top of their positions. They are the literal must-haves.
And if you've got, say, like Pafita, Murray and Talakai already, IPAP's your only missing piece. And if you have to sacrifice Olakuwatu to get it, sorry, yeah. Olakuwatu.
Well, he does need to try Olakuwatu.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not going to score tries every week. So there's going to be weeks where he's...
Don't say that.
Not, well, there's going to be weeks where IPAP's definitely outbasing him.
Oh, IPAP's outbasing him every week.
So, yeah.
But even sometimes, if Olakuwatu scores a try, IPAP could still outbase him. Yeah. It's not out of the realms of possibility.
That's it. When IPAP scores tries, like when Cam Murray scores tries, these guys go up to the 100. Whereas Olakuwatu isn't quite cracking the 100 yet, even with the try. He's doing really well. He's in my team. But, yeah, I was thinking he might be a keeper, but I'm not sure if he's actually... See what he's like when he comes back from suspension.
He's probably a 45 to 60 man on a good day, and then 80 to 95-ish with a try kind of thing. He doesn't have those big ones without a double.
That's it. He'd need a double, I reckon, to get over the century at this point.
Yeah. All right, Scotty Duncan. Corey Pakes in for Randall so that I can use the money to upgrade Curran to IPAP.
Yep.
Hard to trust Kevy's team selections, though.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, if you're using a trade to do it, there's so much more at stake than just...
Well, like, the thing is...
The move to IPAP, I definitely back. Like, a Curran to IPAP, 100%. But...
Can you look at it like this, right? If you're never, ever thinking about using Corey Pakes... Like, you never...
If you're not going to play him, you're just taking the gamble on the cash.
And you just... Like, you just hope that he nuffs himself out. Like, he just be shit and Turpin comes back and no more Corey Pakes. That'd be your only saving grace. Otherwise, I just see him getting stuck there at 3.30.
Well, I guess...
Not being able to upgrade or downgrade.
Do you see yourself ending with two hookers at the end of the year?
I see myself, hopefully, if... Depending on Brendan Smith.
If you don't see yourself two hookers, you cash Randall out, take his money, use it on your team, and once Pakes peaks in another 150-odd-K or whatever, how long this run continues, cash him out for enough, take his money, and bulk your team up again.
See, my only lucky thing was I jumped on Heverington like a reet. Just no good. I jumped on Heverington. Thought that I'll get on him. He'll do, what's old mate's name? With the long
Carrigan.
Hair. I thought he'll do Carrigan-like stuff. He didn't. But he's got the dual hooker. Now, I don't play him anyway, but I can easily cash Randall out, move him up there, and I don't have to pakes on.
Talking about you.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, there's other people out there that got Cotters. And they've got other people.
Yeah, but
people.
They're not the same price point as Pakes. He's doing it to generate cash.
Yeah, just to see that if you're looking at him as a bloke that you want to try to make big money off, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
You know, he's all just right. Going to get stuck there. All right, Richo, should I delete the app? Only got a 1568. I feel it's under par.
Yeah, I'd probably get it out of the game.
Captain Joey Manu, he said. No, he didn't. But if he had him, he probably would have.
Probably does have him.
Alright, Brother Saxy. Schneider to Hines or Fermor to Talakai? Fuck me, Saxy. They're power plays, bro. Con, what way do you go first? For me, I think Hines has got the more consistency.
Talakai.
Then Talakai.
Well, I mean, look what happened, right? Like, Hines has scored well constantly. Last week, he didn't score well at all.
That was against Melbourne, but they're going to choke Nate for points. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Sharks played Melbourne last week when he scored a 35.
And this week...
What scored at 97.
Okay, so yeah, still did decent.
Yeah, you know, so like he's...
Just on Talakai's minus 50 on break even alone, that's what puts me on Talakai's side. With Hines is 30-odd still in.
Minus 59?
51.
Really?
That's it. With another 100 this week, he's going to be $850,000 kind of thing.
And then if he does get picked for Origin, yeah, I'll just put him out, take the cash, upgrade two or three people, use a boost or yeah.
No, I can't see him getting picked for Origin, but...
Oh, no, Freddie, they're floating the idea, but no way. He's too many. For me, like, you're already picking, like, centres, fullbacks in the centres. If you're going to go that way, it's surely Campbell Graham, Stephen Crichton, or even Zach Lomax's shot before Talakai. No offence to Talakai, but he's a second rail bro.
And he's been doing it for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he might have come through the grades in the centres too.
Yeah, he did, but he's predominantly a second rower. Like,
I think Trill will be fit anyway in these conversations.
Redundant.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Okay, again, Talakai must have, Michael Mizzi and someone else asked that way there. And Jared Swan said bring in Hines or Talakai as well.
I'd go Talakai over Hines.
Yeah. All right, now, look. Alex Brams hit a 14.37, not happy. Some monster scores out there, so he wasn't happy with 14.37. That's just ungrateful, Alex.
I don't want to hear about it. Really.
So moving on then.
All right, Saxy. No, I'm only fucking around. Almost 1400, and we'll likely see red arrows. Is this what it feels like when doves cry? I reckon it is. We ask Quinton, what's his name? Kevin Nimmett, got to sell Curran, guys. Who would you bring in? Got Huss, IPAP, Lolo, and Talakai.
Murray.
Cam Murray for you.
There you go.
If I got Jules, I don't know.
Nobody comes close to Huss, IPAP, and
Talakai. No, you just look at that, you just think, fuck.
No, and that's it. If you can get Murray in there, you've got, bang, your forward pack is strong.
And Cram Stemmick, should I just delete the app? No, you shouldn't, bro. It's what we do for this time of year. Once you become at one with your team, you'll be right.
Well, that's us for the week, I think, boys.
Sweet.
Thank you very much.
Have a good week, guys.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy your Supercoach in round 8. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Peace.